Net neutrality is set to end today, and now the internet service providers are in charge.
There are few industries where you can reduce the value proposition to try to extort additional payment and get away with it.
Well, that doesn't sound promising. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Pending some surprise moves by the House of Representatives, net neutrality will officially be repealed today. Those regulations, once again, prevented internet providers from blocking, slowing down, or charging more for certain kinds of content. Now, critics say cable and wireless broadband providers can block access to any site they want, charge more for services that might compete with what they offer, like, say, Netflix or Hulu, or create paid fast lanes or even high-priced bundles that look like cable and satellite TV bundles. So what's actually likely to happen and when? Rob Friedan is a professor of telecommunications and law at Penn State University. I asked him what internet providers wanted to do that they couldn't under the old rules.
These companies are not charities, and they certainly are looking to diversify, to create new profit centers, and their innovation is largely in marketing. So the carriers are going to look for greater opportunities to diversify their packages, to expand what they offer you. And in exchange for that, they're going to look for a higher average return per user.
I mean, some of these carriers are doing that now, right? T-Mobile is saying you can watch all the Netflix you want and it won't count against your data cap. Are you saying they want to more explicitly offer bundles that include preferred services?
Right. Now, not all prioritization of traffic is bad. If you're in a football stadium or a basketball coliseum and you want to look at that disputed call, you might want to have your wireless carrier provide you with a higher quality of service so you get to see that video replay and others who are just taking plain vanilla service might not. On the other hand, that entails a surcharge, and already subscribers are paying for what they think is broadband access.
And, you know, it's interesting because you're describing bundles that, while we may pay more for them, are going to sound consumer friendly at first. Like when we start to see plans from the telecoms that take advantage of the lack of net neutrality rules, is it possible we're going to like them?
That's a very good point, because in this weird wireless internet ecosystem, unlimited doesn't mean unlimited. Free doesn't mean free. Mm-hmm. And consumers latch on to this notion of free, unlimited. And if you look at the fine print, the carriers give with one hand and they take with the other. Now, lastly, the FCC's new restoring internet freedom rulemaking does have a requirement of transparency. But in this internet ecosystem, what is transparency? How do you define transparency? Is it a 50, 60, 70-page document that is full of legalese that no one understands, much less reads?
Right. Well, and I even feel like from the consumer's perspective, you know, we're sitting here thinking that these telecoms are just rubbing their hands together in glee, you know, that they are just waiting for this day to come so that they can reach deep into our pocketbooks. And it feels like that mistrust is there from the consumer side, too. I mean, is there glee?
Yes. Quite frankly, there is. There are few industries where you can reduce the value proposition to try to extort additional payment and get away with it. I think the airlines can do that. And I think the internet service providers can do that, particularly in rural areas where you have only one carrier. It's their game and they establish the rules. And as we've seen with the Netflix Comcast dispute, these carriers can meddle with traffic, slow it down, throttle it, and do so in surreptitious ways that are not easily identifiable, not easily established who's to blame.
I mean, so you live in the middle of Pennsylvania, you were saying. How do you personally feel when you talk to other people in your life about their internet access and what the future is likely to hold? You're kind of like a test case.
Right. I'm a professor at Penn State University, centrally located in the middle of nowhere, but luckily an island of pretty good connectivity. But I can go 10 miles north, south, east, or west from where I am in this day and age, and there is no 4G. There's not going to be 5G. There's not going to be fiber optics. Yes, there's satellite, but it's slower and more expensive. And that means that those service providers are either going to be subsidized by universal service funding, or people in that area are going to pay a significant premium over urban residents. Now, you could say, well, that's the marketplace, and rural residents benefit by cleaner air, and they chose to be out there. I understand that argument. But insofar as affordable service and actual reach, actual penetration, geographical penetration, we are certainly not there. And I mean this, 10 miles from my office, there are a lot of mountains and there are a lot of deer and there's no broadband.
Rob Frieden is a professor of telecommunications and law at Penn State University. Last month, the Senate voted to undo the FCC's order to get rid of net neutrality rules. Democrats in the House have been collecting signatures to force a vote there, too. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Not everyone gets a chance to learn about the economy in school. Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that's smart, accessible, and hopefully a little bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that's good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. And thank you.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.